The mind is an amazing thing. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So the mind is an amazing thing, and somehow last Tuesday as I finished translating the gospel lesson, I thought to myself how much this seemed like an old sitcom that only if you are over the age of probably 40 you would remember. So I apologize to the Simpson generation. But do you remember a sitcom called Love American Style? This might help you remember it. Remember that? It was horrible. Yeah. Half of us are going, shut it off, please. So later today, when you're sitting around lunch, you're going to be singing, Love American Style. Yeah, Love American Style. I remember that sitcom. It was a sitcom that had these characters in it who played out a kind of idealized version of young relationships, and they faced situations and opportunities with an almost impossible sense of optimism. Everything seemed always at the end, after all of the foibles and strangeness, everything seemed to work out okay. It was just fine. It didn't last very long, that sitcom, on television. It aired from 1969 to 1974. At the end of its run, basically the people who starred in it were the only ones watching it. It didn't last for any number of reasons, but I think one of the reasons it didn't last is that most of us could not see ourselves in the show. It didn't look anything like how we look for most of us, except for apparently a few rare exceptions who were saying, oh, no, that was just like my life. It may be why Family Guy, now for those of you who are over 40, you're going, who? Family Guy, which is a very, very popular show these days, and in fact has been running for many, many years. I think one of the reasons Family Guy is doing so well is that many of us could look at Family Guy and go, oh, I see my life in that. Because it's kind of horrible in a lot of ways. Well, in a way, people didn't respond to Love American Style because they just didn't want to be molded into this vision of how love and life should be. They had their own style. Well, as I looked at today's gospel and text for our reading, I think I see some shadows of Love American Style. I'll call it Love God Style. Luke presents us with a text that in so many ways seems so much out of touch with our daily experience in life, our daily experience of faith, that it's just doesn't compute. He sends the 70 out ahead to go ahead of him into the world. And he tells them, take no extra sandals, no extra coat, don't take extra food, go into this town and knock on the door, and if they say, and when they open the door, say, peace be with you. And if they receive your peace, then your peace rests on them. And if they don't receive your peace, then it returns to you, but the kingdom of God has still come near. Well, I know, having been in the ministry for as many years as I have, I have almost never been able to get a Lutheran to actually go out to someone's house that they have not met to bring God's peace. I'll take a poll, because I hope you will prove me wrong. How many of you have ever gone to someone's house with the express purpose of telling them about God? Bless you. Yeah, but you're Mormon. You're in paragraph 4. And you're former Nazarene. What else would they do with you but send you out? Right? Anybody who was raised Lutheran suddenly shrank very low in their pews. It's not part of our experience to go out as Jesus sends people out in Luke. It seems so foreign to us. He sends those 70 out into the world ahead of him, into the towns, and they are, in a sense, going to prepare the way for Jesus by healing and teaching, sowing the seed, but also by being cared for. They are to travel light. And where the message is accepted, great, and where it's not, they're supposed to just shake the dust off of their sandals and still proclaim that the kingdom of God has come near. Well, how does that picture sit with all of you as a plan for evangelism for your church? It's funny because it's so biblical, right? And it's funny to me because we go on and on about how important it is to follow the Bible, except when we don't want to. Well, I got to be honest with you, it doesn't sit well with me either. And I do this for a living. And it's interesting because this evangelism strategy really does remind me of the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witness, who have taken this very seriously and who have followed this model exactly. But is it who God is calling us to be? You know, Matt Skinner and Rolf Jacobson, in their comments on this task, see this particular text as a call to a radical change in how we be the church, how we will be the church in the world. What they notice is that we're really good at hospitality. We're really good at it. As a matter of fact, we have a whole policy here at Lutheran Church of Honolulu and a methodology. Once you get through the gate, we will drive you crazy with hospitality. You will think to yourself, these people are nuts. We've got coffee, and where's Ian? Sometimes cake. We do lay, but you have to get through the gate. We're great at welcoming. And we are great at welcoming as a church, as the Lutheran church, as a Christian church. We make sure that people feel welcome, and I hope we provide a really good experience for people once they come through the gate. But that's not what Jesus proposes. I shared with you, I think several months ago, that I was shocked by a blog that I read by a local, not a local pastor here, but a pastor, I think in Minnesota, who said, we will no longer be a welcoming church. And of course, you know, since that's all we've talked about for 25 years, I thought, I probably like this guy. Let's find out what he has to say. And he said, I don't want to be a welcoming church anymore. I want us to be an inviting church. Man. That's a subtle but powerful difference in line with this gospel lesson. You see, what Jesus didn't do is say to the disciples, I'll tell you what, go rent a stadium and then get everybody to come into the stadium and we're going to put on a show and it's going to change their lives. Instead, Jesus sent them out two by two into the community. He sends them to the world. He sends them to the house of a stranger and bids them not to give hospitality, but accept it. Even depend on it. That's pretty radical. He sends them out without a bank account or a church credit card. He sends them out with no support, no pension, no nothing. And says, go and tell them about God. And whatever you get to eat, that's your pay. And even worse, whatever they feed you, eat it. Rolf Jacobson, in his Working Preacher thing, said that he grew up a pastor's kid. And he said he hated when they changed churches. Because he knew for the first year, they would spend the whole year going to people's houses and eating other people's food. And he said, and I hated eating their food because my mother was a much better cook. But it's true. We've grown up in a culture and in a country where we say, we will take care of ourselves. Where dependence is bad, and where interdependence is not necessarily desired. But that's what the Gospel of Luke calls us to. That the Word of God is spread by going into people's homes, not to make them like us, but to be transformed in the Gospel through them, and for them to be transformed through the Word. Well, that's a scary thing. It's hard to think of. And yet that's what Jesus calls his disciples, us, to. Because you see, the gospel is not a one-way conversation, and I think that's the trouble these days, is that I spend, 15 minutes on a good day, 20 minutes on a bad day, talking with you about God. And sometimes even when I try to enter into dialogue with you, you put on your Lutheran faces. He's talking to us again. But see, God is about the dialogue, about the interplay of how God is working in your life and your work and your relationships. It's so fun to have a dialogue, a conversation with people about their faith. And yet it's one of the things we refuse to talk about. If you go to someone's house, you don't talk about politics or religion. What else is there? You're going to talk about baseball? Sorry. We have a kind of colonial approach to evangelism. Get in our doors and we will make you like us. Well, Matt Skinner tells the story about colonial Africa. Christianity came into Africa with the colonials, right? We are going to make you like us. And Christianity did nothing. Had no inroads in the continent of Africa as long as it was attached to colonialism. When colonialism fell apart and Christianity began to develop among the African nations, when they no longer had to call God Yahweh, when they no longer had to use the words and the motions and the actions of the colonial people, Christianity took off in Africa. Ethiopia, there's getting to be more Lutherans in Ethiopia than in the U.S. They're growing at a rate many, many times what the church is growing anywhere else in the world, because it's a dialogue with their own culture and their own language. It is their God calling them in life. And how do they do it? They don't build churches. That's how they do it. They actually train people to go out two by two into the villages and tell them the story about Jesus. And guess what? They love the story. It's growing like gangbusters. So maybe there's something to Luke's methodology after all. So what does it mean for us? Well, we no longer face the same kind of environment, that hostile environment of the disciples of the first century. Maybe that's part of the problem. We're pretty comfortable where we are. And we're being called now to be the church of this century. So you can relax. I am not proposing that we form evangelism teams of two people to go out into the congregation. Let me put you at rest. What I am proposing is that we begin to look at church and faith and life in a different way. That we begin to look at it as something to which we can invite anyone and everyone in a genuine way. Not invite them in, I mean, this would be nice, but I know you won't do this either. It would be nice if you would invite them to come to church. But that's too much like welcoming, right? You know, come on in, we'll get you in the choir, you'll sing German music, it'll be great. But what if instead we accepted their invitation and we entered into the dialogue together to hear about their faith and their story? And then could share our story about how God has transformed us and our lives. I think, Jim, I'm going to borrow you for just a minute. I mean, one of the most touching moments is to sit with Jim Cartwright and listen to him talk about how hearing the gospel changed his life. Not the rules, not how you have to behave, not how you have to go out and do this certain thing, but how the love of God in Christ Jesus is for him and for you, free and always available. That God has poured God's self out for Jim and for you, no strings attached. It's like Naaman all over again. I can't possibly be healed this easily. There's got to be more. What's interesting is that high bar churches are more successful than low bar churches. Rolf Jacobson says in his column, he says, it's really interesting. Those churches which say that you have to believe this and do this and you need to come to church every week and we're going to track you and we're going to check your IRS schedule to find out how much money we make so we know whether or not you're tithing. Those churches are growing. And these are his words, not mine. He says, however, churches that are actually preaching the gospel, who's interested? Who's interested in a God who isn't going to make you work that hard? Who's going to love you for who and where and how you are? Who's going to send people out who are interested in your story rather than just trying to say, you should be Lutheran. I think the gospel of Jesus Christ calls us to be that church of invitation. That our evangelism strategy should be to go into the world and tell the story of Jesus Christ as if it were alive and now and part of our very being, because it is. I know how the love of God has transformed my life. All I got to do is tell the story and then listen. Maybe if we listen, maybe if we hear their story, we will see God there as well. Jesus sent them out two by two into the byways and the highways. No bag, no coat, no bank account, no credit card, no script. And bid them to go to the houses of the world to proclaim Christ, to proclaim God, and to say again and again, the kingdom of God is near. I wonder if that's our call as well.